will roll out the Rain Report for January 11th, 2008, 2 days before my birthday, in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Welcome to another edition of the Rain Report. I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ. These weekly audio reports have been produced weekly, very weekly, for more than 15 years by Rain's founder, Hap Holly, KC9RP, for the education and occasionally even the amusement of the U.S. Amateur Radio Service. In May 2007, we ran two excerpts from an entertaining yet effective Dayton Hamvention talk by Riley Hollingsworth, K4ZDH. Riley is the longtime special counsel for amateur radio enforcement for the Federal Communications Commission. To help get this new year off to a positive start, here again is the first installment of Riley's talk we dubbed Lighten Up.
Well, you could have gone to the flea market, but you decided to come to church instead. So I got you now. I want to thank you for coming here to Dayton. Just by your sheer numbers, you make the Hamvention one of the most powerful forces in amateur radio, and it shows you're serious about it and you care about its future. And by participating in an event such as this, you help ensure its future because you show your numbers and you show your determination. I've been talking to you for quite a few years now, and I'm not going to go over enforcement updates. There's no need for me to waste your time with that. You can follow amateur radio enforcement in the publications at CQ, QST, a Rain Report, Newsline, and the ARRL website, and now are on FCC enforcement website, a list of enforcement actions that you can go to and track them there. Now, that's a recent change that the Bureau Chief offered to do, which we were very happy with. I want to talk about what bothers me the most about amateur radio, and I want to give you a homework assignment. First, the blatant rule violations. I think you can see that we're taking care of them, or most of them, on a gradual basis. Your violations are about what we would expect, or the magnitude of violations are about what we would expect from a service this size. What concerns me most is this. You still need to lighten up. I said this last year, but you need to take it to heart more. All of you have different interests, and all of you can learn from each other. And you need to work together more and show a little more respect for your diverse interests and for the service as a whole. It isn't about you. It isn't about enforcement. It's about amateur radio. Every time you get on the air, you need to decide what's most important to you. The best interest of amateur radio as a whole, or your own pride, or your own ego. Now, I realize I may be preaching to the choir here, but on the air, you need to be more cooperative and less argumentative, and I need you to take this message back to people who didn't get here and who may not understand this. Your assignment, one part of it, is to read Dave Sumner's article in May QST, page 9. Everybody will have one, just judging on the size of this crowd, but if for some reason you don't get one or you don't have time to pick one up, contact me. And I'll get one to you. Let me read just one little sentence from it. Most of the unpleasantness that erupts from time to time on the most popular HF bands can be avoided if we're willing to be flexible in our frequency selection. That's about all you need to know about amateur radio. Because I have good news and bad news for you. And the good news is there's nothing wrong with amateur radio. It's a good service that's showing its value to the public on a day-to-day basis. The bad news is there's an element of amateur radio that too often reflects present society generally, and there's not a lot we can do about that except to hope that the pendulum swings. Whatever the phenomenon is behind road rage, whatever that is, and I'm not going to try to define it, that's what I'm talking about. All of you need to work together more and depend upon the FCC less to solve your operating problems. We got a few specific messages to different groups. To the nets, it doesn't matter how long you've been on that frequency. All frequencies are shared. A group of three or four people meeting on the same frequency every night for 75 years, using 1,200 watts when 100 would do just fine. That's not a net. That's a round table. No net on planet Earth is an oasis of amateur radio. The world is not going to end if you vary the frequency or even if you don't meet one night. To the widebanders, if you want to operate a broadcast station, apply for one. Yeah. extraordinarily wide signals on crowded spectrum at peak times are rude and inconsiderate and set you back. To the contesters, use a little more courtesy and remember that even when operating split, you don't own a frequency. They all are shared. To those that don't like contesters, lighten up. Contests are short-lived. If they're bothering you, go to the wart bands. Wash the car, cut the grass. And learn from the contesters. Some of these contesters are the best radio operators on planet Earth. And the nets need to learn from the contesters on how to get messages through and not take 15 minutes to get a 10-second message with phonetics through. To the repeater owners, you don't own the frequency just because you're coordinated for it. A coordination is only a recommendation, and get your paperwork together. And remember, it's your call sign on the repeater, and nobody asks you to start a repeater. If you shut down the repeater tomorrow, you know what would happen? People would use other repeaters. It's no different than leaving your den door open if that's where your station is. If you let people in and they misuse it, lock the door. Don't ask us to babysit. That's what control operators are for.
You're listening to a Rain rerun of a May 2007 Dayton Hamvention Talk by Riley Hollingsworth, K4ZDH, Special Counsel for Amateur Radio Enforcement with the FCC. We'll continue this first excerpt in a moment. This is the Rain Report, available as a free weekly download and podcast from therainreport.com.
To the QRPers, thank you, thank you, thank you for your vitality, your inspiration, and your enthusiasm, and for being builders again. I wish I could spread your enthusiasm across all sections of amateur radio. And when I see you folks, the QRPers, I see the excitement and magic of my first contact. And to those of you who don't like QRPers, anyone can use a linear amplifier as a crutch. To those that don't like de-expeditions, if a group of people want to go to the islands or sit on a rock for a week in the ocean, live in tents in 100-degree weather, swat mosquitoes and scorpions, and operate ham equipment, lighten up and let them do it. I can't tell you how many complaints I got about Scarborough Reef all week long. It wasn't even under our jurisdiction. It was chaos for a few days, and then it was over. 46,000 contacts, and about half of them CW. Nobody would have even known about it if the league hadn't published it. Somebody thought it was important. About 46,000 people thought it was important, but it's over now. And back to your homework. Most of the unpleasantness that erupts from time to time on the most popular HF bands can be avoided if we're willing to be flexible on our frequency selection. Dave Sumner's article. You're calling the FCC too much to solve your problems. To all operators in general, I say this. This is just about a 40-year-old QST magazine. Next to the last page is a big presentation on Swan equipment. How many of you remember Swan transceivers? Boy, they were the latest and greatest, weren't they? Well, let's take the 350. It has 12 little knobs and one big knob. So does the 500, and so does the 250. So then take this QST magazine about 40 years later. Let's look on the back. TS-570, it's got 46 little knobs, one big knob. And you look in the last page there, there's the 2000. And I remember last year I heard a guy behind me when I was looking at it saying, "That's so big and pretty, I couldn't get that in the house unnoticed." I thought that was a good remark. By the way, if you ever hear that I'm dead, race to Gettysburg to my house, because every piece of equipment in my house cost about $150. You can get some good deals. But this FT-2000 has 75 little knobs, but it's still got one big knob right here. There's a reason for that, and there's a reason that you have thousands of frequencies. My pet peeve, too many are like people at a shopping center. You'll argue over a parking space when there are 150 vacant ones. You have to look at it this way. Every city has a bad neighborhood. It's an area that'll just take time and more resources to clean up. There are economic, sociological problems and other things, mental problems, like the ham bands. But if you had three alternative streets that you could take to work, and one was through a bad neighborhood, and every time you drove that street, somebody hit your windshield with a rock, wouldn't you take another street after, say, five or six windshields, 8 or 10 windshields? So who's the bigger idiot, the person throwing the rock or the person that drives down that street every day when they don't have to do it? Well, why don't you take the same approach to the amateur bands?
Riley Hollingsworth, K4ZDH, Special Counsel for Amateur Radio Enforcement with the FCC, excerpted from his May 2007 Dayton Hamvention Forum presentation. We'll conclude his talk next time. The RAIN Report is copyright 1990 through 2008 RAIN, all rights reserved. Now, for all of us at RAIN, I'm Blair Alper, KA9SEQ, bidding you very 73 from RAIN, the Radio Amateur Information Network, www.therainreport.com.